This is Jerry Agar.
Good to have you along. So there's a bill put forth. It's a private member's bill reintroduced in provincial parliament this week, aiming to protect patrons and staff at licensed establishments from sexual harassment and sexual assault. It's called the Safe Night Out Act. It would require anyone who works in an establishment that serves liquor to be trained in evidence-based and trauma-informed sexual harassment and sexual assault prevention. I think people who serve alcohol are already charged with the obligation to ensure that they are not over-serving people, that somebody has, sorry, sir, but you've had enough, we're cutting you off. That's probably difficult enough to administer for everyone in the business to handle. However, you've taken on the business of selling a product that can have devastating consequences if people are driving home drunk, that sort of thing. And you're also selling it in an environment where people come together and interact, and maybe you've got people who are, you know, in trying, hoping to pick somebody up or whatever the deal might be, slipping substances into drinks that weren't put there by the establishment. There's all kinds of problems that can happen at bars. How much of a responsibility can we force onto the people who are serving the drinks, the ownership, the bartenders, the wait staff, whoever it would be, to be able to tell whether there is sexual harassment, sexual assault going on? Joining me to talk about this for a bit, my son Tanner, who you've heard on the show maybe before. He's not in Ontario, but he owns bars and restaurants in Dallas, Texas. Tanner, good morning.
Good morning and happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much. It was nice of you to call yesterday. So, that said, first of all, we have the Dine Safe where you're not supposed to overserve people. It may be difficult to tell whether an individual has been overserved, you know, what they drank before they came along. But how would you be able to tell, unless it's really blatant, whether there's sexual harassment or even some form of assault going on?
So that's a very difficult thing to do. We do run trainings. We're not required here in Texas to run trainings on that. We do run them for our staff. And, you know, there are things you can look for. You know, if it's like a roofie situation, there are patterns, there's behavior. You know, lots of bars will try to find ways to talk to people or create menu items that you can order. And that indicates when you order it, I'm having an issue and I need support. So there are protocols you can put into place, but it can be very hard to tell the difference between people sitting in a corner and drinking and people sitting in a corner drinking and having a problem, especially when you don't know them.
Yeah. For anybody who's not familiar with it, how would you describe a roofie you just mentioned?
You can sort of, people's eyes will change.
No, and the their product. Demeanor What's will the roofie itself?
Oh, sorry. A roofie is basically a tranquilizing pill that makes you pass out and lose consciousness. I've never been roofied, but people who have been describe it as you wake up the next morning with no memory of what happened before, no idea how you got wherever you are.
And it's the kind of thing could be slipped into a drink?
Yeah, so that's a pretty popular date rape drug that people reference. Alcohol is credited as being the most popular one, but a roofie doesn't have any other purpose. You wouldn't recreationally take a roofie. For someone to give you it to you would be a purposefully malicious act.
Yeah. Okay. Kristen Wong Tam is one of the politicians at Queen's Park who's pushing this. She says alcohol is the number one date rape drug that is currently used. We also have to look at it from a lens of safety. This legislation gives the government a legislative framework to make places where liquor is served safer for the patrons who are most at risk of sexual violence and harassment, predominantly female and often young, as well as the workers who serve them. What I don't see in the article about this from CTV News, Tanner, is what kind of penalty they would bring down on the establishment if somebody went to, let's say, your bar and something happened to them, sexual violence, sexual harassment. Sexual violence, you should probably be able to see. Sexual harassment can be harder to see, harder to know that it's going on. Do you think it would be fair to say you've got to pay enough attention to this as the people running the establishment to such that if you don't, you could be fined or shut down if somebody has a bad experience in your establishment?
Yes, sexual harassment can be very difficult, especially since harassment can be only spoken and certainly not when you're staring at somebody. It would also, you'd have to see with alcohol, we're liable for what happens after you leave our establishment. And so what I would want to see with something like this is a carve out which protects the servers and the establishment from some type of criminal or civil liability, because it would be very easy to say, you 18-year-old server who's never been on a date, who's never even had alcohol, are now legally responsible, or we're holding you civilly responsible for what happened after these people left the establishment where you served them, because it would be very hard for them to do. I do believe we have a responsibility as the people who sell alcohol to be responsible in to whom and how much alcohol we sell to somebody. But it's important that there be a safeguard for something like sexual harassment, which we don't have any control over.
All right. And it's good to hear you say that you do realize you have responsibility. You're doing training, et cetera. But I want you to tell a story that you told me yesterday about a bar there in Dallas that was charged because of, and it had to do with alcohol, not sexual harassment, after he left the establishment. But the establishment did a bunch of research on their own.
Yeah. So there was a gentleman who caused a drunk driving accident. Somebody died. That's really terrible. And this bar, where I know the owners, they were being taken to court for having overserved this person and getting them drunk. They were able to demonstrate via their cameras that they had served the person four drinks over the course of 4 hours, which most people would assume is okay. But the government was pressing charges, holding them responsible, and trying to shut down the entire establishment until the bar owner was able to demonstrate via a convenience store footage, the guy had bought alcohol there and was drinking it in his car and then caused the accident. But nobody had gone to check if they had been drinking after the bar. They just saw a credit card receipt for a bar and immediately assumed the bar was the bad actor.
Well, and that's the thing, is that you're not excusing bars that will serve people till they're sloppy drunk and stumble out to their car. But at the same time, these things can be very difficult to prove. And they're bringing just the hardcore responsibility onto an establishment for something like a claim of sexual harassment seems pretty difficult, as they want to do here in Ontario, on the bar itself.
It can be very difficult. Obviously, if it's a staff member or a manager, that's one thing. But to hold a bar responsible for what one person says to another person is really difficult. And I don't think that that's the spirit of the law, but I would like to see them create some sort of safeguard, because the minute you're certified in sexual harassment training, you open yourself up, especially in the political climate we're in now, to being held civilly liable, even if it's just a threat of being sued. That's a lot to put on servers, especially many of whom will be part-time students, yeah, and lower income earners.
All right. Just, we have about a minute and a half left here. So tell me what it's like to be the person who says to a maybe belligerent to customer, no, you've had enough and you need to leave.
Yeah, that's very difficult. Anybody who's been in the industry long enough has had to do it. You think it's not going to happen if you run upscale places like we do. But yes, you have to kick people out and they get angry. They're embarrassed. Sometimes they'll make a scene. When the only thing that makes you feel a little bit better after you kick someone out is when their kids walk in again after they took dad outside and say, hey, we're really sorry. He's a jerk. But thanks so much for having us.
Dad's a jerk.
Yeah. Yes. I've multiple times had people apologize for their friends or for their parents to say, we're sorry that they were mean to you.
Have you ever had the person come back in a few days and say, I know I was drunk the other night and I apologize?
Yes. We've had people come back and say, thank you for cutting me off. I got home safely in the Uber you forced me to make. Thank you. Could I have my keys back, please? But thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate this, and I hope we get more detail on what they're planning to do here. I think the heart's in the right place with this legislation to protect people against sexual harassment and violence at a bar, but we need to know more about it. But I appreciate your perspective on this. This is my son, Tanner, who has bars and restaurants in Dallas. Thanks for doing this. Love you.
Yeah, thank you. Love you too. Bye.
All right. Candidates take aim at frontrunner Chow on taxes. Are they right? We'll get into it next on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.